Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Daria.
Talking to me?
Hello and welcome to Arya Talking to Me, a Game of Thrones and House of the Dragon podcast hosted by two Australian comedians. My name's Ben Vanel. The other guy on the show's name is Adam Knox.
That's me. I'm glad that people maybe already know our names from Game of Thrones, because
yes.
If they had to learn our names for this as well, then there's going to be a whole lot of fucking name learning and forgetting and learning again and turning on subtitles to see what their name was.
And I mean, if our names were like Arthur Knox and Adam Knox, or like, you know, Adam Knox and Adam Knoxus.
Yeah. My favorite name so far. We'll get into it properly, but the thing that stands out to me the most about... We're here for the House of the Dragon starter. We're going to be doing recaps for every episode. This one's called The Heirs of the Dragon. The fact that main character's best friend is named Alicent is the funniest fake Game of Thrones name. Just chucking a fucking Q somewhere in a regular name.
Yep.
Or, you know... I love Alicent.
Alicent. Oh. It's Alicent
so
Millicent.
Mythical.
There's some stupid names in this already that I didn't quite pick up on watching the show or the episode. There's like a guy called Hobbit.
I missed Hobbit. he's from the House of Launceston, right? Or he lives near there.
Yeah, he lives near there. He's one of the Hightowers, apparently. And like, there's a guy called Lyman Beesbury. So, you know.
That's my favorite ice cream flavor. I love Lyman Beesbury.
But yeah, we did the preview episode last week where we, you know, watched a bit of behind the scenes stuff and still couldn't really, I think, imagine what the show would be, what the plot would be and why it would be potentially as engaging as Game of Thrones. But I think this first episode, I liked it, and I think it did a really good job at pitching itself as a show that needs to exist.
Yeah, I'll say right away, I kind of loved it, I think. I really enjoyed myself watching this. It felt like the proper height of Game of Thrones feelings. I was getting some version of them, of like the sort of tension during the intercut jousting and birth scene mixed with like the fucking hard to watchness of that. The creepy relationships implied with like the king and Alicent. if something fucked happens to her, I'm not going to be able to take it seriously. You've got like the comedy fucked happening with like someone pointing at somebody else and being like, rape her! Which, like, just why can't, why wouldn't they say ist?
I think that is the term that was used in like real life as well, in like, you know, the equivalent, the Dark Ages or whatever. It's real stupid.
Well, it's an awful word to make sound wacky.
Yeah.
They had everything. They had all the fucking, you know, it was every Game of Thrones thing, but without it feeling pandering or forced and setting up a new set of characters and story, enough shots of meaningful looks between people that it felt like there's going to be some depth between how these people interact with each other. So I'm excited to watch this series. Thankfully, God, I was nervous going in.
Oh, me too. Such a relief. I was talking to someone else before and they were like, you know, what did you think? What, you know, did it live up to your expectations? And I was kind of like, well, I think my expectations were quite low. My hopes were high, but my expectations were low. So I think that this episode definitely exceeded those expectations. I think it's really, really like really maturely and like steadily put together in terms of like the prologue, I guess, sets up the motivations of a couple of the lead characters really, really well. And it reestablishes mm-hmm. the world. It introduces us to, yeah, what it was like in Game of Thrones world almost 200 years ago really well. And then, yeah, it introduces every character in a very natural but also, you know, meaningful way. It's I think it was really well put together.
I thought so too. Should we just go through it, I guess?
Let's do it, yeah. So, yes, it does start with that prologue-y thing. We got a little narrator who is initially unknown and is, yeah, I guess revealed to be Rhaenyra? Rhaenyra.
Is it Rhaenyra or was it Rhaenyra's mum? Because didn't she say that her mother something... God, we're already confused about which characters are which.
Okay, well, whoever it's it was, literally... they're like, yeah, the Targaryens are the ruling dynasty. They've got 10 adult dragons. They've got 10 nukes. No other world power can stand against them. And the only thing that can tear it down is itself.
But there's, yeah, King Jaehaerys is on the throne. There's been years of peace and prosperity, but he, both his sons have died for whatever reason, some sort of tragic death. But he convenes a council to choose an heir, and they choose his, like, male brother rather than his, or his male younger nephew or something.
Yeah, what is the relationship?
Like, his, I think there's his daughter and also her cousin or something like that. He's not directly the king's son.
No, he's
whatever
not.
Whatever it is.
No, he's. I think he might be a nephew. Or, yeah, because he's too young to be a younger brother. It's his grandson. It's his grandson.
I think it's... but because that's the other thing. There's Princess Rhaenys Targaryen, who... So she's still around. These are all characters who are... you know, present later on. This guy's dead, the former king. But
yeah, the prologue's only like, what, 10 years ago or something, if that. Because, Viserys's wife is pregnant with Rhaenyra. So it's like 20 years ago, I guess.
Yeah, so there's Rhaenys Targaryen. She's his eldest descendant, the king's eldest descendant in some way.
Yes.
But then her younger cousin is Prince Viserys,
mm-hmm.
and he's also being considered. So I guess her cousin could still be... And then I think we're still talking sister wives and all that shit with the,
quite
with
possibly.
The Targaryens.
I think this recap I'm reading says they're both his grandchildren of different, you know, the different families, different... you know, kids in between. And she's the eldest. So, And obviously...
She's older, but a woman. Yeah. He's younger, but a man. And it goes the way of the man because that's how this world does things.
Yeah.
And if you were to do a decision other than that, it may well cause some turmoil. Hopefully, that won't be necessary again for some time.
No. I forgot how the episode ended, so I'm happy to agree with you there. Viserys is chosen, and I guess the dynasty's power switches to that arm of the family, of which there's already like a bunch of kids and grandkids and cousins and shit. So there's a lot of people who have sort of been vying for this power and will continue to vie for it.
And so a bunch of these people are from houses that we didn't really touch on that much in Game of Thrones. So like Hightower, I kind of don't remember who was from Hightower. I remember the name being around, but it's not.
As in from Game of Thrones?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't remember it at all, to be honest.
I feel like they might have had something to do with the Vale or something. Maybe it was Catelyn a Hightower before she was a Stark? I think not.
No,
she
I don't
think
else. So.
They were those fish.
I do think that they were basically like swerved around for like you know,
Tullys. Were they Tullys?
They were Tullys. No. Yeah. They just sort of compacted a bunch of characters a little bit. But that's the Hightower is one of the key families in House of the Dragon. The Hand of the King is Otto Hightower, played by, to me, an unrecognizable Rhys Ifans.
He's great in this.
Yeah.
He was my favorite performer. I thought he was a Lannister at first because of the fucking voice he was doing.
Yes.
But he's
very
got a
Charles
real
Dancy.
Charles Dance voice.
Yeah.
He's Charles, you know, what's similar to a dance? A jig?
Charles Jig. Yeah, all right.
A jig is just a dance, though. But, yeah, he's Chuck Jig.
Yep.
And then, so, yeah, the other people who were there, so married to the one who would have been queen is, I forget his name, but he's from a similar house to Targaryen, but isn't a Targaryen, but he's got the blonde hair, but he's a verse something.
His name is Corlys Velaryon, but I assumed...
Yeah.
I don't know why. I assumed that he took her name, because Velaryon is like a big thing, and I thought it was like related to... It was like a branch of Targaryen, but I guess you're right. She took his name because she is a woman. And yeah, in this fictional world, apparently, men are prioritized. It's crazy to get your head around.
It's the same as making the small change of Alicent.
Yep.
Like, women are taken slightly less seriously here than maybe, but kind of, we all know that it's Alicent.
Yeah. I guess why I was getting confused is because all of their weapons and all of the great magical weapons of the show are made from Valyrian steel. So, it's like, it's stupid because that, like, Lannisters had them and you know, Jon Snow had one as well. But I guess Valyrian is, you know, that's his family and they have the mines or whatever, you know.
And they're from back in the old world before the Targaryens came across the sea. That was all Valyria.
Right.
The dragon is named Valyria or something. There's a lot of Valyrals.
Yes.
So, same as watching Game of Thrones for the first time. I'm a little all over the shop on who's who, but that obviously is by design to throw you into the world and make you feel like you're part of this pre-existing place and will become more and more clear as the season goes on.
I think I'm clear with, like, if you just ask me about the people and who they liked and disliked, you know, and what they want to do, I'm fine. The names I don't have yet, I'm not quite there. But in terms of, establishing who they are, what they want to do, and, how they feel about each other, I reckon that was nailed in this episode.
Yes, and I want to see it unravel because there were a lot of scenes where they had just the right amount of cutting to someone raising their eyebrows a little bit and having a little thought about what someone else had said that I was like, oh, what's going on there? Nothing yet. But there'll be something at some point. Who thinks what about who?
Yeah.
After the Lord of the Ringsy kind of Galadriel thing, we get a big dragon flying shot. The first bit of the budget gets very much spent here.
Well, I reckon they had to cut out a credit sequence. They ran out of money that. Because there isn't one.
No, there's just like the sort of Targaryen medallion-y kind of thing flies towards the screen, which I'd be happy if they just leave it at boop, 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 boop. And I like the little bits of remixes of the music and stuff like that, though. That was working well.
Totally.
Oh, yeah, and you get a little thing saying, you know, Daenerys Targaryen is 172 years away.
But then
we get a ton of money poured into this dragon flying over, I guess, King's Landing.
It is, yeah.
That's where they are. Because they keep talking about other places that are still relevant. It's cool hearing it, you know, like, I guess... If you were going to do this with Earth, it's like people going, he went down to Istanbul. You mean Constantinople? It used to be called that.
Yes.
You're getting a bit of that sort of stuff. But what's her name? Rihanna? What's Rihanna's name?
Rhaenyra? Maybe our main character. It seemed kind of is positioned that way for this episode, but who knows?
Yeah.
Yep.
Rhaenyra? She's capable of flying one of these 10 dragons, and she... comes home on one to some big Night's Watch guy, King's Guard man. Mm-hmm.
Harold.
Sort of friendly. Sir Harold, is he?
Yes, he is.
Is that with two D's or something?
Two R's.
Is it really?
Yes.
Oh, fucking hell.
Yeah. Two
I
R's
love the
for,
ones that are just
George
a
R.
normal
R.
name with two... Oh, man. Call him Barreled or something at least rather than just Dublin and R.
I know. But yeah, we get Sir Harold, who's, I guess, like a knight of King's Landing. He's not like a Targaryen or even a Hightower. He's a Westerling, apparently. Don't know what that means.
Right.
But he's, like a bodyguard, basically.
immediately, he seems trustworthy and capable to me.
Because he's got a Scottish accent.
Maybe that's why. Yeah. I'm in Scotland right now. I feel attached to him. But he's got like a sort of Mike from Breaking Bad kind of presence going on.
Yes. Yep.
A little bit. And we get introduced to her. I'm going to say her parents think that she's a friend.
Yep.
A good friend, probably.
A close confidant.
They're live-in friends.
Yeah.
That's what they are.
Yep.
They very much seem to have something going on there. Mm-hmm. I don't know if they've explored it yet. They're still quite young. But this is...
This is Alicent.
Alicent.
Mm-hmm.
Even the names that I remember, I'm going to forget when trying to attach them to a face that I'm looking at.
One other thing is that where the dragon lands is like the dragon pit, I think it's called, which doesn't exist anymore in Game of Thrones. But no. It's like the big dragon stable.
Some very soot-faced kind of scared-looking dragon handlers who just have the absolute worst job.
Mm-hmm.
They're packing the dragons away Rhaenyra's back home, traveling through and everything seems pretty chill.
Yeah.
Everyone's stopping and waiting for her to walk past while they're carrying their baskets around in the court. Everyone gets who's in power, what the structure is. We all understand how this works and nothing's going to upset that.
Yeah. I mean, they've got dragons. Like, you know, it's pretty clear who's in charge.
There's not much you can do about fighting a dragon unless you impregnate that dragon and make that dragon die horrifically in childbirth in a scene in the middle of an episode.
Yep, true.
So Rhaenyra goes and checks on her mum and her mum's pregnant.
Hey, you'll love this. Her mum's name is Emma with an A at the start.
Emma?
Yeah,
God damn it.
Well, like, it's
I thought
A-
I heard
A-E.
Them say Queen Emma at one point, and I was like, okay, there's got to be more to it than that.
Yeah, AE, like Elon Musk and Grimes' kid. It starts with AE.
Great.
I prefer.
It's sick getting a new bunch of these names.
I do prefer the ones that sound like normal names, like Harold and Emma. I'm not reading them when they're doing the show. Rhaenyra, and reading that and then trying to remember if it's pronounced the way it looks like it should be or not is, that's tougher.
Rhaenyra sounds like an STI.
It does.
I'm not sure I love the word Rhaenyra.
Yeah.
And I think we're past the age of people naming their actual kids after Game of Thrones characters. So I think I'm safe in saying that.
Yep. I hope you're right. I wonder how many Daenerys has got changed back. Or changed to one of the normal names off the list.
I don't know. I hope all the Daenerys's out there are looking after themselves. So, they have a little chat, Rhaenyra and her pregnant mum.
Yep.
Nothing really going on there. They seem to be like a little iffy on her riding the dragon. It seems like they think it's a little unsafe.
A little unsafe. It's something that maybe a guy should be doing. You know, like a guy, like if he was a male, you know, heir who was a soldier and shit like that, she's getting a bit of like Arya Stark vibes about her of like, you can't
exactly
do what the boys do. And then, her mum underlines
that.
She's
their only kid at this point.
Yeah. Yeah. The mum is like, hey, getting pregnant is the dangerous thing that you're supposed to do.
Right.
So, you know, that's just the duty of a noble woman.
I think she says the birth bed is our battlefield,
which
like threw me back into working in call centers and shit like that. And then being like, this phone is your sword. And being like, you fucking cunt. Fuck you. Fuck off.
Yeah. Love is a battlefield.
The only one I'll accept.
Yep.
And then we go and see the King's Court for the first time. And this court is exactly the same as what we're used to from Game of Thrones. All the same types of people are sitting there and sniveling along that table. It's great.
It's interesting because, it kind of has the appearance, surface level, of a pretty stable, you know, situation. Like, there's a good mix of voices. The king doesn't seem like a fucking idiot, you know? Like, we had Robert in Game of Thrones, who was a drunk and, you know, a bit of a dickhead. we've had all the evil people. We've had, yeah. He at least, you know, initially looks like maybe he's a good king.
Like the good King Bran, who we'll end up with.
Yeah.
The future King Bran.
Absolutely.
Who everyone's happy with
world. Yeah.
Thingo, so what's Dreadlock's name?
Corliss. It's not a good name.
Corliss, that's it.
Yeah.
No, so...
It's like an empty apple. It's Corliss. That's how you're going to remember it. I'm sorry.
Okay, so apple...
Yep.
...is kind of talking about some, like, there's three houses that are calling themselves the Triarchy. They're causing trouble with some shipping routes. We've got to look after them. And no one's really taking him seriously.
Mm.
Everyone's kind of ignoring it and, like, talking over him a bit. Rihanna comes home and she's like, hey, what's up? I'm under my umbrella here. And they're like, hey, yeah, sick, dude. And like, no one really, he clearly is being made to look a little bit like he's feeling a bit impotent at this court, and maybe he is.
Yep, 100%. It's a Triarchy whose admiral is called Kragas Drehar, but his nickname is the Crab Feeder, which I love. It's very evocative. I guess he's feeding people to crabs.
I can picture the Crab Feeder. I reckon he's got one eye that's got a big scar through it.
Yep.
And he's always walking sideways.
But yeah, Corliss totally, Lord, totally disregarded by everyone else there.
Totally. And so we've got another maester and another like master of coin.
Mm-hmm.
And they seem like snivelly little cunts there.
Yep.
That Beesbury is one of them. But they're like the real, oh, well, I know exactly what I'm doing. I'm a touch of God, blah.
Mm-hmm.
They've got that shit too. Then one other guy who's like some ineffectual nothing guy.
Yep.
They're all the yes men keeping their heads down. Same exact little poisonous crew that we get from a bunch of different Game of Thrones eras.
Yeah.
And then you've got Otto Hightower, who is Rhys Ifans, who is, he seems like he's got a head on his shoulders. He's the hand of the king. And mm-hmm. he seems like he's got the king's best interests at heart, the kingdom's best interest. Like, he seems as though he kind of knows what he's doing and seems okay.
Yeah. Very even-tempered and very, you know, balanced and feels like a reliable hand of the king. And yeah, at this point, there's no reason to doubt that.
Yeah. And they're having a chat about how they reckon that she's having a boy.
Yeah.
The queen.
Yeah, and this is where...
He's had a dream about him coming out with his a crown on his head. I think he tells this to her in the bath later, but like there's... He's certain it's a boy, and we find out later that it's because of a vision.
Yeah, which apparently all the Targaryens get. It's a genetic thing. They'll have crazy dreams.
Well... Call me a Targaryen because I've been having fucking nightmares over here in Edinburgh for some reason. I don't know if it's like the jet lag or something, but every night I've gone to sleep, there's been some new fucking problem my brain's found with something.
Wow. I was going to say, this obsession with the male heir, which makes sense. You know, it fucked up that whole previous succession thing. Like, there were no male heirs to directly. And it's like, you know, any sort of medieval or... sort of aristocratic fiction and also history that you read, this is a huge obsession. Like, real life queens and stuff get, you know, fucking killed off because they don't provide male heirs. So it's you know, it's clearly important, but it does seem to be clouding his sort of reason a little bit. I thought anyway.
Every day back then was for the boys, not just Saturdays. It was every single day was for the boys. And so if you don't have the boys, what are you going to do all week?
Yeah. That's you don't have the boys, you can't play with your toys.
I don't know if the subtitles I'm reading are correct, but that's exactly what the episode I've got a copy of says. And then we go over to the throne room, like getting reintroduced to all these very Game of Thrones-y places.
Yes.
Even when a little earlier on, after she lands, and I think when they go into the room where... the queen is sitting there being pregnant, being looked after. I'm pretty sure that the shot we kind of come back from the overview of King's Landing through to.
Yeah.
I think this is the room where fucking Joffrey's brother throws himself off of the balcony.
Oh,
in
right.
150, 70 years.
Right, right, right. I definitely know they walk. It is the Red Keep, and they walk across like the chessboard courtyard thingy. So I think you're probably yeah. right, and I think they have included that stuff purposefully to give everyone watching a real touch point of like, remember this. This is where you are. You know. Yeah. Overlay this stuff in your brain over Game of Thrones and you know, you'll feel a bit more, you know, comfortable with what's happening.
It's a cool thing about being, again, here in Edinburgh, we're recording this on opposite sides of the planet. The fact that buildings really do just, if someone dies in that building or whatever, or if something horrible happens on that corner, they're still going to build a fucking Pizza Express there or whatever later on. Like, yep. There's a corner where they used to burn witches.
Fuck.
Here in Scotland.
Fuck.
If you were a witch, they put you here, and that's where there's like people dressed up as fucking Yoda pretending to hover off the street asking for coins. It's bizarre that the one world carries every event you've ever heard of.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So yeah, go to the throne room. Yoda's hovering over the throne there. Is the throne bigger and more swords on it than Game of Thrones? I feel like I read that they tried to do that.
Yeah. There's more swords to the left and the right, for sure.
Yeah.
Those swords on the steps, I don't really remember being there, but I'm not... Maybe the throne is a little swordier.
Mm.
But tell you what's very much sworded is the idea that someone other than the king would sit their fucking traitorous little ass on this... sword throne, but that's exactly what Daemon Targaryen has done.
Yes.
Matt Smith finally being cast in a role where he's meant to be acting smarmy. And it totally works, it turns out.
He's got villain cheekbones, I'm sorry, but like, yeah, you're right. I think finally he's been really well cast, and I thought he was great. I'd like his performance.
I'm loving him.
He's both... He has a real balance of like seeming like a dick, but also seeming somewhat like he's kind of knows what he's doing and is not just doing it for selfish reasons. Like he,
right.
I guess we'll get to it when it happens. But yes, he has a conversation with Rhaenyra, his niece, because he is the younger brother of Viserys, yeah. the king. He's been off fucking around, but he's very rarely in the capital apparently because no one likes him.
Right. His brother is the king, and his brother, you know, seems to want to look after him.
Yep.
In whatever way he can, but that at this point has been like basically sending him off to boot camp and whatever, like getting him out of there, giving him some fucking odd little jobs to do where he's not around to make a nuisance of himself.
Yeah.
And the second he gets back, he starts making a nuisance of himself. Like,
yeah.
He's sitting on the throne. Him and his niece seem to have a bit of a weird thing going on.
Yep.
I don't know if he'd call her his niece or if he would pronounce it nice, but he gives her some necklace, again, made of Valyrian steel, and they are speaking in whatever language that was, Dragonish.
Mm-hmm.
What's that language called that they speak? I guess Valyrian.
Yeah, High Valyrian, right? That's what Daenerys used to talk in.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
High Valyrian, I'm dad. And they reconnect, and he's here, and she seems to be, you know, pretty okay with his hijinks.
Yeah, it's whatever that vibe was, it was definitely mutual. And I think that's what it's meant to be portrayed as, yeah.
Yeah, they understand each other, it seems like.
Yeah.
Much like Rihanna and Alicent understand each other, lying in each other's laps, reading books. These guys are good friends. Wow.
You think, I mean...
That's so good that they can split the cost of a bed between themselves to... Why use two bedrooms? You're right. You guys are friends. You can sleep in the same room.
Is this just meant to be a real hedonistic period where everyone's just okay with everything? Because, man, there's some fucking... there's an orgy later on.
There is an orgy later on. I get the impression that they would not be okay with this.
Right.
These guys don't seem to know it yet. I think they're in love with each other. I don't know if they're certain of that yet, but I reckon that's going to start coming into stuff.
Very interesting.
But it's a similar type of, you know, sex is recreational vibe for rich people that they had in Game of Thrones as well.
True.
And they're talking about history, and Rihanna turns out to know her history but doesn't necessarily have any respect for it.
Oh, that's right,
She's a little bit wild.
She's wild, but she's capable. I guess that's the point. She's like, I'd rather be fucking flying around on dragons, bitch, but I do know who the Lord of blah blah is.
And you know what? I've misremembered. This is where we see that balcony where, God, what was his name?
Tommen, right?
Joffrey's brother. Tommen, that's it.
Yeah.
And that's a location where a king died, and then we're seeing this king, we're zooming back out, he's got some fucking disgusting pus that they get right up close in on.
Yeah.
On his back. Something's going on with him.
I mean, I know it's not real, so it's hard to, like, guess what it is, but I assumed, like, it's like a cancerous thing or something. Like, they're just like, oh, it's a wound that doesn't heal, which I do believe is like a symptom of like a skin cancer or something. I've taken it to mean that it's like, oh, okay, there's a ticking clock on this succession plan.
100,000%.
Yeah.
This king's going to die before this season is over, I would guess. To be clear as well, if people don't know, we haven't read the book that this is based on. We're purely doing this about the show. So any predictions we make are fresh out of just seeing the television show as it
is. Yes, yep. And I know it's like it's apparently like a short story even. Like, it's not, but it's, we'll probably read it. Never, because it's apparently spans. It's like a high level story that spans a lot. It's more like a history. It's like reading a history.
Yeah.
So, we're just about the show. Please don't spoil any major events for us.
Right. Yeah, please don't. Because I am more interested in watching the way they put the shows together.
Mm.
They go and have a chat in the bath. The king and the king and his queen. Isn't that nice?
That's literally what they are.
And she's telling him about, like, you know, they chat about some other stuff, and then she's like, this is the last fucking time I'm having a kid, I swear to God.
Oh, yeah.
I've had all this trouble with the last few that we've tried to have. We're having this fucking crazy tournament celebration for someone who you think is going to be a son, and then he's like, I don't think, I dream it, so I know.
Mm.
She's like, that's stupid as hell, but all right. And what's the prophecy? It's something like he's going to come out wearing a crown, and then there'll be clanging of swords and things like that, and that, and then there's something at the end of this little dream he had.
I don't remember the dream.
He places his son upon the Iron Throne. I mean, that obviously doesn't happen. The bells of the sept and all the dragons roared as one.
Oh, yep.
I don't know if it's going to end up sort of, meaning anything, seeing as later on that kid's going to be dead, but...
Yeah. Yeah. Maybe, if anything, it means that the dreams are fallible and you should not be banking on them coming true.
Yes. Like the dream of having a penis, which is a dream rudely snatched away from someone in this next scene as, Matt Smith starts... imposing his will on the City Watch that he is newly the head of. That's his new title that they've given him to keep him busy.
Yeah.
He's like, all right, you want me to stop crime? No one can commit crimes if they don't live.
Yeah.
And he starts chopping off limbs and cutting off heads. A big fucking crazy night on the town for all these City Watch people.
Yeah, the gold cloaks, which, I think the thing was like, they say it later. They just have shunted Daemon around until he can have a role that is like befitting his status, but also takes him away from where the big men make the decisions. And I think he's like, opened up the treasury and given them all gold cloaks and fitted them out. And then, like, this is pretty fucked up. It's not like crazy though. Like, it's this.
No.
This, like, for a night of doing it all at once is like, pretty fucked up. There's the horse and cart filled with limbs. But this is how justice was, meted out in these kinds of societies.
Human meat.
Yeah.
So they end up with a cart of.
If cart full of, on human meat. But I don't know. Like, it's kind of like he's gone, you want me to be the head of the City Watch? Well, I'm going to really take it overly seriously.
Yeah, exactly. Almost to make a point where he's like, they've given him this thing where later on the king is like, I wanted you to follow my laws. And he's like, I am. That's all I'm doing. And it's he makes it sound as though they thought this was a role they could kind of have him under the thumb in, because he's only got so much scope of what he can do because he's meant to enact the king's laws. But he's really, really going for it. Otto's got a problem with that. He's talking about fucking don't let him act with this sort of impunity. But now Daemon's in the room and gets quite tense. He says some shit about his dead wife. Otto steps up and he's like, what do you fucking say, mate?
Yeah. Yeah, because they talk about like, hey, why don't you like go hang out in the like lands you've been given, Daemon, and take care of your wife? And he's like, I don't like my wife, but you can have her because yours is dead. It's kind of, it's an absolute dick move.
To be fair, he did get him.
He did get him. And it sounds like Daemon has been set up with this wife that he's got through, you know, against his own wishes. It's probably almost certainly a marriage of politics and convenience and all those sorts of things. So that's, I guess, where he's at with it. But, everyone else...
You can see from them... Sorry.
Go on.
I was just going to say, you can see from the way they're, I think probably the same thing you were about to say, as compared to the pretty smoothly running, easy business court that they had previously, Daemon's come in and he's really shook it up.
Yeah, well, I was going to say that like everyone except for Viserys openly dislikes him, which is kind of fucked up for the brother of the king. It's like, he might be a dick, but don't you respect him?
Yeah, well, and... fuck, man, I'm going to have to start writing down names. Valyrian, Corlys, Apple. I remember
Apple.
Corlys is kind of like, you know what? He's kind of right that we do need to.
Yes.
So he's got a little bit of
yes
ending from him.
Yeah, Corlys is like, look, I mean, they were criminals. We cut thieves, you cut off their hands. Like, you know, it's like, I don't know what you expected him to do. And I think the real reason that everyone's so antsy about it is because it's not because he is enacting the king's law. It's because he has well-armed and trained, like whatever they say, 2,000 men. It's like he has a small army now, which is just something that they did not foresee.
Exactly. And potentially the ambition to claim a right to the throne.
Yes.
Like, they're not stupid. They know what he's doing. But Corlys is like, I don't mind him. I'd watch him fuck someone through like a weird kind of grate.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's a whole bunch of other people watching him fuck someone through this weird kind of grate.
Yep.
But he's troubled. He can't do it.
he can't.
He's beefed up Matt Smith for this role.
Yeah, yeah.
He's absolutely chucked on a couple of bulk kilos here to
chucked
be
on an ab or two. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. But, you know, He's a little bit sad, and he meets out that that work, distributes that to a woman to help him emotionally recover from things. So he's actually pretty cool, I think.
So this is this is Miseria, aka Sonoya Mizuno, an actor who I've seen in Devs and Maniac. She was really good in. But she's playing the sort of sex worker, what was it called? Sex position.
It is sex position.
Yeah, yeah.
Getting them to talk about their inner secrets because they're in a secret place.
Yep.
They have something going on too, because later on he brings her along wearing a big dress to come ride his dragon. And then afterwards they get on his pet dragon.
Perfectly delivered, Nox.
Thank you so much. I'm super in the zone right now. I'd be ready to compete at a big tournament where we use jokes instead of lances. Now, this fucking sequence here, this tournament and the games and stuff, I love the sort of kind of mirroring of the beginning of Game of Thrones, where that kind of started with these sorts of games, and I just thought this was all so well put together and so like uncomfortably violent but in a necessary way, and so well done for putting you back in this world and seeing everyone develop and interact with each of the different houses, mm-hmm. showing you where they all stand, who likes who hates who. It just yep. all comes out during this scene.
Yeah, yeah, I loved it. I think I was, like, on board up until this point, but, like, as with the original Game of Thrones, you do get a lot thrown at you, and while it all may be interesting, you do feel a bit lost. Or at least you just right. struggle. You're trying to put it together. You have to think about it quite a lot, whereas this is completely visceral. And yeah, really well done. That the intercutting stuff works fantastically. It's not showy or anything. It's like, yeah, this there's a purpose for this, and it's to make you feel this way. And yeah, you get character right. stuff. Damon proves himself to be like a pretty good fighter. Not the best fighter, but pretty damn good. And a dick. And
right.
Yeah.
First person he chooses, he gets to choose who he fights for whatever reason, and he picks Otto's son
yep.
as the first person, very pointedly. And yeah, you're right, that like that chaos of figuring out who's who and like being like, oh, I heard someone say Baratheon, cool.
Mm. Mm.
It's great to have that feeling of chaos in a place that is exactly meant to feel chaotic anyway, because it's this big, crazy thing. Fuck, man, Corlys is doing the best. I'm kind of skimming through the episode as we go here to remind ourselves of what happened. He's the guy for reaction shots. Cut to yes. him anytime there's an eyebrow to be lifted, because he's absolutely selling it every single time for me.
Yeah, no, I agree. And also, yeah, I guess you have to have a character whose allegiances are not necessarily fully on the table to us as the audience. Mm. Yeah, it's great. It's great to just sort of have a little compass point for all of these episodes, yeah. or for all of these scenes in this episode. And yeah, liking his performance as well. Loved the look of the character, and there was a lot of that stuff here. I guess we know that Rhaenys is. I mean, she's. You take a real word and you add a letter on the start. That's the George model. She's playing nice, but like must just have a lot of resentment. And I thought this was a great scene for sort of bringing all of that out and then like literalizing it with, Damon just trying to smash a bunch of dudes up.
And he fights dirty. He's got a big dragon helmet. He knocks a guy's horse's knees out at one point. But ultimately loses to a guy named, I think, Cole. The family is named Cole.
Yes.
Yeah, C-O-L-E.
Yep, it is Sir Criston Cole.
You see, that's so weird because they've got, you know, Baratheon and all of these things. And then one of them's just named like a second-tier Jonas brother or whatever. Yeah. Criston Cole is absolutely Disney manufacturing plant human type of name.
So. I love his TikTok, though. Like, he does some really funny stuff and, like, you know, he can do a backflip as well, which is really exciting.
Wow.
I was convinced he was going to die. He's a handsome yet unknown actor who's pitted against Damon. I was certain that he was going to get his fucking skull caved in.
Nah, he's going to be real important for some reason. I think he'll end up trying to lead some revolution or something. There's got to be a reason we've never heard of the Coles later on.
Yeah, true. True, true. But at the same time, we got a bloody labor going on. Or like almost, that's announced, I think, like at the start of this, right? It's like, hey, the queen's in labor and everyone cheers.
But then I think the maester comes and gets him and it's clearly going a bit wrong. And then shit at the tournament is going absolutely wacko. Mm-hmm. Everyone's killing each other, banging their heads against stuff.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, the blood on the field mirrors the blood at home.
Yeah.
As the labor's not going well.
I've often said, Adam, I've often said that the childbed is like a battlefield.
Holy shit. Mm. You know, it's crazy. If you'd have said that but 20 minutes ago in this very episode of this show, you'd have been foreshadowing. Do you realize that? What are the chances of that happening?
I know. But yeah, fucking hell, poor Queen Emma. She's really going through it. She's already had, it sounds like, after Rhaenyra? What's her name? Rhianna. A bunch of really unhealthy and physically painful and failed, unfortunately, pregnancies. And God be damned if they haven't forced another one to get that male heir. And it's real bad. She's I love her performance. It's a shame that we don't ever get to see her again, but really believable.
Right. It is tough to watch this scene.
Yeah.
It is fucking brutal. It is realistic.
Yeah.
They make the king decide whether or not to try and save the baby because the mother's going to die probably either way.
Mm.
And him crouching down beside her and then her slowly realizing what's happening to her is fucking awful and really convincingly delivered, unlike the baby. But it is just fucking brutal to watch, and it's a bold, bold, awful, necessary scene.
Yeah, I as much as the jousting got me, the boldness and the sort of reality, the emotion of this scene, you know, specifically, was like impressive.
Reality,
I guess.
The way, is the name of the third Targaryen sister.
apparently this little baby who they sacrifice Queen Emma, they cut her open. Yeah. They don't know how to do cesareans properly, and Balon, a little baby boy, is successfully delivered.
At the same time as Daemon having his hopes dashed and being beaten, this boy coming out really suggests that he's banged down and on the ground.
Yep, but then, yep. He's been trumped. There's a new heir.
And we don't learn until a bit later what actually happens. Now, I don't know if transitioning from that scene to talking about our sponsor who makes sharp objects is necessarily the exact right place to put it. But if you yourself... maybe filming a birth scene and want to clean yourself up a little bit beforehand, then you will need help from a company such as Manscaped.
If you want to conceive and you want to make sure you're trim and terrific down there for your lover, the products
can you
of Manscaped.
Imagine, can you imagine how embarrassing it would be to look your child in the eye on his 18th birthday and admit to them that you had pubes when you made them? Your child would be disappointed with you. And that's why the people at Manscaped are here. They make really, really good, personal grooming products.
Yeah.
The Lawnmower 4.0 is their, like, flagship kind of electric razor thing. And it's fantastic. I use it on my face, which it is really good for that.
Yeah.
A different one. For downstairs as well. I have two bathrooms, one upstairs, one downstairs, and in both of them I shave my balls and my face with the same razor.
If you want to keep your platinum blonde pubes, which I assume every Targaryen has, trim and looking nice, you can get the Lawnmower 4.0, you can get the colognes and the balms, and my favorite is their ear and nose hair trimmer. It's incredibly safe, as is the electric razor. And, turns out I've got some nose hairs to trim. And I love the Manscaped ear and nose hair trimmer. It works perfectly. They're all like little USB chargers. They're super convenient. Great build quality. Like literally the best razor that I've ever used.
There's a thing called the performance package you can get, which like bundles a bunch of things together and then gives you like sort of a best of thing with, including like a leather pouch that is very good for taking your toiletries overseas, which is exactly what I did with it. You do though, they won't be able to remind you to put the things that you need in there, or you might just end up bringing an empty fucking toiletries pouch to the other side of the world because you didn't bother to open it up and look inside and see whether or not you'd actually remembered to do that.
But now you've got a perfect toiletries bag to fill up with British toiletries.
Yeah. Blokescaped or whatever they have over here. I could bring on back.
Chav trimmed.
I believe it's the case that if you want to get anything from Manscaped, you can go to manscaped.com and use the code ARIA at checkout, as in ARIA talking to me, ARYA, and you'll get 20% off and free shipping.
That is 100% correct. A 20% discount 100% correct. Yeah, manscaped.com. Use the code ARIA. It's a great gift. Father's Day is coming up in Australia. It's, yeah, like a must-have for any dude who ever trims any of his body hair. So why not use the code ARIA at manscaped.com? You get a discount, you get free shipping, and you help out this little show.
A shave fit for a king. Oh, no. The king is too sad to shave because his wife and son are dead.
Yes, it's pretty much straight away, right, that we fade up on the pyre, the funeral pyre.
You see the baby in the hands of the maester, and people at the games are sort of starting to hear the news that, it seems like something's gone wrong.
Yes.
And then, yes, we're down at the coast and we're having a funeral for the mother's body all kind of wrapped up and on a funeral pyre.
A Darth Vader style funeral.
A little tiny
pyre.
Wrapped up second one for a smaller mother.
Yeah. What a sad coincidence. Some other mum died on the same day. I didn't really think, I was like, what? I didn't think it was the baby. Like, you know, in terms of a split second, I was like, who's that little? I just didn't think that baby would fucking die straight away and make the whole thing pointless. But you know, yeah, that's what happened.
The both of them, unfortunately, well, hopefully, are dead and wrapped up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I ain't raising this baby with no mother. And, you know, everyone's looking pretty forlorn about this. Mm. Rihanna is standing there and her thoughts, her and Damon are talking. And she's saying, like, I hope that while that son was alive for a few hours that my dad was happy because he never has been with me. Like, she's, I think, kind of being beaten down by the fact that, like, she lost her mother and this boy pointlessly. And now her entire upbringing as being not the future son also must seem pointless to her because that boy is dead. That, like,
yeah,
her whole life has been as this afterthought,
mm-hmm,
for the purposes of raising this boy eventually. And now, yeah, that's all gone.
Yeah. Yeah. And yeah, the mum too. So there's just like, it's just was all completely pointless.
And Damon seems actually sympathetic towards this and is actually kind of like, he seems to care about her in a sort of a weird seeming way, but also in a genuine way.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so. And then do we go straight to the, back to the council?
Yeah, she gets her dragon to, we hear a Dracarys and set fire to the bodies and stuff, which I don't. Suppose I understand how Targaryens work, because so do they just, you can burn them after they die?
Yeah, I don't know. And it's like, well, but is it only dragon fire? Because I think that, you know, the Daenerys scene, it was like they just burnt down a tent.
That was just fire.
It was just fire.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe it's just dragon fire. I did think about that as well. I was like, but maybe, I think it must be that.
You're right. We're back at the council.
Back at the council. Everyone's angry and putting, you know, like being very like, well, it's all fucked up, but like we have to settle this succession thing because it can't be Damon. I'm sorry, but he's a fucking crazy guy. He's a wild man and he can't be king. As Damon is like hiding next door listening through the wall.
Man. Where the fuck is he? It's insane that he's able to just stand in a cupboard and listen to this meeting.
I know.
It's ridiculous.
It's like, even if it wasn't him, where's your security? Like, anyone could be eavesdropping on this. This is stupid.
It's the silliest thing in this whole episode. And it doesn't really add anything. Like, he's, yes, overhearing what their plans are, but he kind of could have guessed that this is the sort of shit they'd have said.
Yeah.
I don't think it would really necessarily help or hinder his thoughts towards the council in terms of the story for him to have literally heard this. Mm. So having him fucking, you know, with his hands splayed out, hanging above the ceiling, like pressed against there like a Spider-Man, doesn't... It just seems really weird and silly.
Yeah, especially because it feels to me like Viserys is not anti-Daemon. You know, like he is distracted, obviously. Clearly he's distracted and grieving and he doesn't want to deal with it at all. But he doesn't say, like, no, I don't think Daemon should be king. He never says, yeah, I agree with you. He's too much of a psycho. Like, he equivocates a little bit, but he's you know... He doesn't do anything that should motivate Daemon to do what Daemon does later in, you know, the episode. I totally agree. There's no reason for him to listen in.
Because they're talking about Daemon's ambition and that, you know, it's mostly Otto who's very anti-Daemon. The rest seem pretty like, well, rules are that Daemon's the natural successor. Like, that's kind of just the situation we're in.
Yeah.
And then the king kind of gives Otto a bit of a dressing down because he's like, you fucking told me to put Daemon in the City Watch that you're now complaining is his army.
Yeah.
So... don't act like I'm fucking around here when you're the one who messed it up and he's my brother, so, you know, don't fuck with him. However, who knows who should have it? Let me think on it. I don't think they make... the one thing that the king does say about Daemon that Daemon kind of sneers at a little bit is that, he doesn't have the patience for the throne.
Right, yeah,
which
true.
Which Otto quite rightly says, there's not a man who the gods have made who... doesn't have the patience for absolute power or something like that.
Yeah, true. But yeah, there's a lot of
Corliss as well.
There's a lot of maneuvering.
A quick little there is a lot of maneuvering. Corliss chucks a little like, hey, what about my wife? Maybe she could be.
Yeah.
I remember my wife?
No, we already dealt with that 20 years ago.
Yeah.
She was a no, I'm sorry. She's still a Sheila.
They're in an interesting position to like, because obviously, Daemon would be kind of getting back at the person who took the throne from them, that Corliss and I forget the name of his wife, who would have been queen. But then if they support his daughter, that's kind of like putting back together the thing that was fucked about why they didn't get it. So
yeah,
it'll be interesting to see who they sort of side with.
Yeah, that's true. But Otto is really, I think, revealing his... it comes across as like just dislike for Daemon, but he's a maneuverer specifically as well. He's it's starting to become a bit more clear. Like, he's making some political moves. I have to assume selfishly. But yeah, just after this meeting, he tells little Alicent to go and comfort the king, which I feel is a real move.
Yes. Yeah, he's got a touch of the Lannisters about him in more than his kind of delivery of these lines here.
Yep.
Because, right after this meeting where the king says, hey, my fucking wife and son just died. I won't let you crows feast on her. And I'm like, aha, I get what that's from. What is this, a storm of swords in here? What are you guys doing? We don't want a bloody clash of clans about this.
Yeah, this battle for the big chair, it's a real Game of Thrones up in here.
This is the real... Man, well, you're standing over there, I'm standing over here. It's like we're on two towers here. What's going on? Well, this should be the return of the king, not the goddamn Harry Potter and the Sorcerer's Stone.
Yeah. I love how he said all of that.
It's a cool scene. I'm glad Matt Damon got to overhear it as well. That was genuinely an accident saying Matt at the start of Daemon there, but it's been something that's gone through my head every time we've said Daemon.
Yeah, me too.
Because Matt Smith playing Daemon.
Matt Smith Daemon.
It's impossible to not just say Matt Daemon.
We'll say it from now on forever. She does it. She doesn't seem to be particularly comfortable with it, right?
She doesn't want to go up there. She doesn't seem to be enjoying this. She's very good friends with this man's daughter. But Otto is clearly using her to... He says like, hey, it wouldn't hurt if you fucking put on his dead wife's dress. Or no, your mother's dress.
Yeah.
So maybe there used to be something between Daemon and...
Viserys.
Viserys? Viserys and maybe Otto's ex-wife who seems to have died.
Yep.
But always see them do is like sit down and talk about history, and she's got a book, but you know, the implication is pretty heavily implied there.
Yep.
Partly by directly cutting to full-on penetrative sex right after this.
Yeah, not a lot of implication going on in this scene.
No, they're doing full Game of Thrones shit, including the best part of this entire episode when they, one of his flunkies, one of Daemon's flunkies, is like, yep, shut up, everybody. Everyone kind of freezes what they're doing. And there's two people in the middle of the room, currently in the middle of doggy style sex,
yeah,
who just sort of turn their heads, remain exactly the same, yes, in this like incredibly well-lit centerpiece of the room. It's like, huh?
And then wait for an entire speech to be delivered. It's great.
Yeah. Motionless.
Yep.
But in the exact same position as we kind of cut back and forth between this and the next day of Otto reporting to the king that there's some rumors that Daemon was kind of talking shit about his recently dead son.
Yeah, yeah, coming up with the little bon mot of the heir for a day, which is pretty cruel, pretty mean.
I'm looking at this shot of this guy being in a little bon mot right now in the little in the middle of the room. God, it's stupid looking. They've lit them so well.
I know.
It looks like the fucking Last Supper.
I was going to say exactly that. It looks like a debaucherous Renaissance painting. Yeah, he's in the middle of a bon mot, I guess you would call it. But yeah.
It's ridiculous. Game of Thrones is back on TV.
It's back on. I love it. I love the, you know, it's so arch. It's so, it just leans right into it. Make it look like a fucking Renaissance painting and chuck a dragon in there occasionally.
And so the dragon, I will say, during the funeral scene looked a little bit more dicey than the one that had a bit more money put in it at the start. There was a couple of shots with that dragon where it looked a little green screen,
yeah,
or whatever. It looked a little bit CGI.
I agree. I saw a couple of recaps and reviews being like, well, they've clearly upped the budget for the CGI. But even the initial scene where like the dragon lands, it was like that. I've seen better looking video games, but you know, it's because they're obviously using CGI to build out the backgrounds and to make all of the, landscapes and shit look real. But, it's not the most important thing.
The
about
opening
these
swoops and stuff I thought were very well done. But yeah, just a couple of little, not that it fucking matters.
Yeah.
But then we're back at the throne room after these accusations that have been corroborated by multiple witnesses, apparently. Heir for a day. And then the king is... Viserys is confronting his brother about it in the throne room, asking him, like, did you fucking say it? Did you say exactly the thing that I know you said? Call me your grace. Fuck you. And he starts kind of, he doesn't like fess up to it, but he's like, I see things how they are, dude.
Mm.
And that guy you're always loving, Otto, that guy is a cunt. And these walls are going to reverberate the first cunt of the show just to really drive it home.
Yeah. And I think we've probably been led to perceive this across the episode. Viserys is, I don't know if weak is how we're supposed to see him, but he has some weaknesses that, you know, maybe hold him back from being the perfect king. At the very least, Daemon definitely sees it that way. Daemon being someone who is obsessed with strength and power, despite his own inability to close the deal with his Maseria, and his inability to close the deal with the jousting, he has a bit of a power complex, it seems like.
And they make a point earlier in that jousting scene to be like, all of these people are peacetime losers. None of them have fought in a real war. We've been in a peace for 70 years. Everyone here is pretending.
Yep.
This king is kind of like that. Daemon's kind of like that. Like, there's a lot of tension and anger and rage and that sort of stuff building up in people that they've got nowhere to put it because other than like into the city watch and just beating up people nearby.
Yeah.
Because there's nothing to do. They need a little bit of conflict.
But yeah, the conflict
here.
But
they have an argument about like, you've never asked me to be your hand. What's the deal with that? And he's like, what's the deal with that? You're a fucking asshole. I keep fucking giving you shit, but you throw it back in my face. It's like, you don't give me shit. You give me shit.
And then Viserys cuts his hand on the throne. He keeps getting fucking cut on this throne, apparently.
Yeah, he said earlier that the thing on his back was just a little cut from the throne. Don't worry about it. And hey, if it's a thing that is being exacerbated by the stress of being a king, if it is a consuming cancer that is being made worse by that, then I guess you're kind of right.
Or maybe it's a
but
sign.
But yeah, he's holding his big...
He doesn't deserve to be king. The throne's rejecting him, Adam.
Damn. Maybe he's not cut out for it.
Oh, ho, ho. Yeah, I don't know if that means he's meant to be a thematic thing or if it's just like, yeah, he keeps getting cut on this thing and his body is not able to deal with it. Or, I don't know. I guess it means something. We're just not sure yet.
I mean, the way they make him look, he looks ridiculous with this big showy sword that like he barely
looks capable
of wielding. He was never meant to be king. He wasn't brought up being king. That previous king had two sons who both died. Like he's been thrust into this much in the same way that he's about to thrust his daughter into it.
Yeah.
In the next scene, he's down having a look at Viserion, I believe was the name of the dragon with the big head.
Okay.
And they're standing down in that basement where later on Jaime and Cersei will die.
Oh, yes, yes, yes.
And they have a little chat about like, hey, look, my son's dead, but I guess I've been wasting my time not telling you how to be the next ruler. I reckon you should be queen. And by the way, here's a secret. In the future, there's going to be a thing called the Night King, but don't worry about that shit because it'll go away.
Yeah, that was weird. I don't know what the point of that was at all.
I assume that it is like, you know, in the text and whatever is like a true thing that the Targaryens passed down, this like long-standing prophecy of doom and whatever. But knowing what happens with the Night King story that he's fucking talking about,
right?
It really does make you think like, oh, don't worry about that. You can just stab him once.
Yeah,
it's fine. Just stab him once, and you'll win.
And like, I
does
guess
someone I'm... important need to stab him? No.
Anyone. But yeah, being like,
he'll
hey,
be easily tricked as well.
Everyone has to ally. All the kingdoms have to come together. It's like, well, I mean. Nah. I guess that happened, but it wasn't because of the Targaryen. Like, yeah, it's just a bit, I don't know, just a bit.
Just
fell
prank
a bit
him, prank him, and he'll fall for it, yeah. Why don't you just do the Jurassic Park Velociraptor thing where one of you's to the left and he's got it, you're done. It's
and it good. won't really have any sort of, like, overall bearing on the story or the emotions or the politics or anything. It'll just kind of go away immediately.
Yeah, they'll deal with it, like, probably five episodes before the end. The whole thing that seemed like the point? Yeah, no. They'll do an epilogue for most of that season.
And it won't.
That was my only real massive problem with that last season. And it does make sense, though, this prophecy, if the thing that I think we talked about, the theory of maybe Bran was like controlling the Night King and it was all maneuvering to get himself on the throne. Mm-hmm. I reckon that's what the ending of Game of Thrones is, personally. Is that Bran did it and I won't hear different.
I don't know what I think it really is, but that makes it seem like they really thought about it, which is good.
Yeah. Reminding everyone of like one of the worst aspects of the ending of that show was a strange move to make in the first episode, but he does it. But mainly tells her, hey, we're going to set you up. You're going to be the heir.
Yeah. Yep. It's finally time. There's going to be a real queen on the throne. And she's like pretty okay with it. I guess, yeah, what we know of her character is that she wants to be able to do meaningful things and exciting things and not just sit around being a mum and seems pretty canny, you know, pretty smart. So, I think this is cool. It obviously sets her against her uncle who
she doesn't seem that dissimilar from, though.
Yeah, true.
So you get this scene of her kind of like being a bit stunned by that, but then being kind of sworn in or whatever you would call it, being announced to the court and stuff. So I want to point out, I think Valyrian as in Valyrian steel and Valyrion as in Corlys Velaryon might be different.
Fucking hell.
Maybe someone was sitting there being annoyed by that this whole time because I'm just looking at the subtitle and it's spelled in a way I think is different. So I think this might just be like a blacksmith
and
a smith. my name is Smith, but yep. I'm a Smith.
Okay.
Anyway.
That's confusing.
But so they're all the lords and whatever, they're all kind of gathering around for this, whatever they call this ceremony, letting everyone know that she's next.
Yep.
And they all seem to be pretty begrudging.
Yeah, absolutely. I thought the Starks and the Baratheons were pretty, fucking all right, I guess we have to do this.
Yeah.
All the other people who we've already seen as well, who are part of the court, who weren't just, you know, flying in. They're all just to be like, okay, I guess so.
Whatever. she'll be killed. This is a waste of a trip.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because then we see Daemon flying away. She's been given the power in the court or whatever, but he's flying away on an actual dragon.
Yeah.
He's properly actually using a dragon, which she can, but I don't know. Showing her being looked at disapprovingly by a sea of people and then him mastering the art of flight really puts him in a position where you think, well, maybe he's a little bit more set up to win a fight than her.
Yeah, yeah. I guess I, just thinking about it then, like I assumed while watching it, like, oh, the dad has set her against Daemon, who's a fucking, loose cannon. But I don't know why they can't be allied, if they are friends, if they do get along.
Yeah.
There's no, like, he has been banished. Like, that was one of the things that Viserys was like, yeah, also, Daemon, get the fuck out of here. Go back to the Vale, the place that, you know, we gave you those lands. Go hang out with your wife. You know, you're out of here. So I guess he's doing that. He does take Mysteria with him. It's not confirmed that he's actually going back to the Vale. He's just leaving. So maybe he's just going off to do some bloody plotting and scheming somewhere, and he'll come back soon.
You'd assume so. It's hard to read the look in her eyes in this end bit.
Yeah.
She looks intimidated by this responsibility that's being put on her. She looks surprised and sort of shocked and all of that. But there's a little bit of hunger in there. There's a little bit of excitement in there. So it's hard to get a read on exactly where she stands with the prospect of being the queen.
Yeah. And I mean, she's the queen. She's the heir. She's been announced as the heir, so she's not the queen yet.
Right, yes.
It's still probably, it is in a bit of limbo. We know that Viserys, we think he's probably going to die of this weird, whatever it is.
I'd assume, yeah.
But for her, currently it's just like, well, I'm probably the target of a lot of, dislike and skepticism and, she's a womaning. But it's not the crucial point yet. I think she's probably into it, but whether she's able to deal with it and handle it and wield that power or not is something we will find out. Yeah, maybe not for a while, but then also she's probably going to be the target of assassins just as the heir. So.
One thing we do know from Game of Thrones being our only other reference point for this series, not having read any of the stuff, but having watched that, is that the Targaryens are still in power up until Baratheon comes along and knocks them out, which is, maybe 30 years or whatever before the start of Game of Thrones.
Right.
So we're 140 years or so of more Targaryens from this point. So a Targaryen will win this.
Yeah,
It's not like this can kick off. It could kick off a civil war and whatever, but there's not going to suddenly be like, and look, here's the Starks or whatever. It'll be Targaryen on Targaryen action. The hottest sister wife on sister wife that you can get.
Uncle, niece.
And yeah, you're right. Like her, she is at a disadvantage for a while until she's properly the queen and it becomes more difficult to assassinate or to discredit a sitting queen.
Mm-hmm.
She will be looked down upon for being a woman in STEM.
Yeah.
Which stands for sitting on the throne each morning.
Okay. What was I going to say? Oh, I like the performance who is it? Whoever plays Rhaenyra, Millie Alcock, apparently. really good. Right. Like you said, there's a lot of subtlety to that performance, you know, as there should be. There's the ambiguity in that moment. I like Paddy Considine as King Viserys. I believe that character entirely. He's such a, you know, flawed, but still somewhat capable king. Matt Smith is, like we said before, I think he's perfectly cast. I've really enjoyed him. And, yeah, Rhys Ifans as the potentially meddling hand of the king, who maybe is actually a good guy, but maybe just has different loyalties, is... I'm really enjoying all of that stuff so far, and everything else as well. The cinematography, the pacing. It's been a really well put together and well made episode of TV.
Totally. If they're able to kind of flesh out all of these characters as much as it seems like there's room for depth there, then this will be great. I'm really looking forward to watching more of it. I hope that at some point this turns into like Better Call Saul, where we get a post Game of Thrones thing.
Oh.
Where it did turn out to be Bran all along. And then we can finally go, oh, great. Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah. All that fucking three-eyed raven shit in the cave. Actually,
that's why
meant
that
something.
Was, of course.
Yeah,
it's all in black and white and whatever.
The TV show, I think you referenced it last week, that I hope this becomes. And like you said, because we know this is Targaryens all the way down, I hope this becomes, like Succession. I think there's a lot of room for twists and turns without having to, have a full-scale war and change the families over or anything. And I think they've put in place characters that make me want to see them, you know, have those machinations and plots and schemes and stuff. I'm excited to continue watching House of the Dragon.
The house that the dragon built.
Yeah.
House of the Dragon Improvement.
House.
That's a dragon doing the Tim Allen grunt.
Yeah.
We'll be back next week with the second episode. It's 10 in this first series, right?
Let me see if I can see episodes, IMDb, one season one. Yep, it's 10. It's a 10 episode season.
We'll see you every week for the next, 2.5 months?
Yeah.
And, I'm so relieved that I enjoyed watching this show.
Yeah. You can follow us on Instagram at Arya Talking To Me, and send us a message if you got some opinions on the first episode, or ariatalkingtomepod@gmail.com for anything a bit more in depth. We had a few emails, but I the speculation was pretty vague. People are just seemed to be hoping that it was going to be good, but if you can leave out any spoilers. If you are, it would be great if you're just a TV watcher like us. You can get in touch there. But for now,
let us know what you thought of this one too.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm interested to see if in general people enjoyed this one, because we're going to be I think I'm going to enjoy it as we continue doing Arya Talking To Me 2, House of the Chin Wagon.
Very, very good.
Can you
stuff.
Sign off on that name?
I guess you've already announced it, so I don't have...
like the scrawling of a pen doing a signature to me.
But yes, thanks for listening. We really appreciate it. If you're new to the show, that's awesome. If you haven't rated and reviewed us on Spotify and iTunes or / Apple Podcasts, that'd be awesome. Just telling a friend about the pod would be sick. But otherwise, we'll see you next week.
See you later.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.